Let's jump in. So if I had to entitle this preach, I would call it Learning to Walk, right? And the reason I say that, I want to maybe open with a scripture in Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you." So, right, who wants to eat the fruit? Who wants to eat good fruit? Right? Who wants to be blessed? Right? Like, as we walk in his ways, as we learn to fear the Lord, there's something of a return, actually, that comes from that. And this is what the Lord, he tries to teach his people this right from Genesis, right throughout the Bible. If you follow me, follow me. Follow me if you follow me. And I love it in Galatians, Paul says this. He says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh," right? So there's that constant war between the flesh and the spirit that's going on in us. That is actually, even in the Old Testament, that's what's been addressed. Walk in the ways of the Lord. Don't walk in the ways of man. Right? And in Galatians, Paul says, walk by the Spirit. So as we dive a little bit deeper into walking by the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, well, I want to ask ourselves the question this. How do we walk by the Spirit? And I asked myself that question. Okay, like, Paul, your instruction is how do we walk by the Spirit? So I want to ask myself, well, your instruction to us is to walk by the Spirit. It's very clear in Scripture. But how do we do that? And I do like to pull things apart, really, and go, okay, what are you saying here? What's the deeper meaning of this? And remember, as we dive into this and as we work through it, it's a work of the Spirit, right? It's impossible to walk by the Spirit if you're not filled by the Spirit. Right, so there's an infilling of the Holy Spirit that has to happen. There's a renewing and a rejuvenation of a heart, a regeneration of a heart that has to take place before we can walk by the Spirit. Well, before we can walk by the Holy Spirit. Right? So before that, we're walking in our own ways. We're walking in flesh. And I would say even in the Lord, we can still tend to lean into those things sometimes. But he's saying, walk by the Spirit. In Ephesians, he's quite prescriptive about what he's saying we need to do. And the context of the scripture is not drinking too much. In Ephesians 5:18, he says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." So there's an instruction that after salvation, with salvation, in our walk with the Lord, there's an infilling of the Holy Spirit, and then there's an instruction to walk by the Spirit. And the question that we need to ask ourselves, if you're taking notes, is how do I walk by the Spirit? And I would maybe break it into three points. I don't often do it like this, but let's go. 3 points. And the first one would be decrease. If you have to put a heading next to that first point, it would be the word decrease, right? And why decrease? In John 3:30, it says this, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And then again in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "My power is made perfect in his weakness." So there's a sense that whatever is in us needs to decrease so that he can increase in us. If my cup is full, what is it full of? In my weakness, he is strong. So, in my emptiness, he fills me. Kind of putting a little bit of putting some words into it. But in my weakness, he is strong. In my emptiness, he fills me. But we need to be empty, right? We need to be empty of things of this world. We need to empty ourselves of the distraction of the things that actually demand our attention away from him. So decrease is your first point. I need to decrease. And I'm not going to jump too much into that. Because the second one would be we need to choose. And now you might be going, what do you mean, choose? And let me let me maybe unpack that a little bit for us. There is a choice involved when it comes to living in the opposite spirit. You may be wondering, what am I saying? What is the word opposite spirit? Like, that's an interesting term. I've never heard that before because it's not really in the Bible. But when we talk about the opposite spirit, it means coming against or not falling victim. Responding oppositely to what the world would be responding, right? Okay? And I'm going to use the scripture in Galatians to kind of unpack that a little bit because it's very clear there is fruit of the flesh and there's fruit of the spirit. And the fruit of the spirit seems to be opposite to the fruit of the flesh. So when I say opposite spirit, it means am I responding to situations by the fruit of the spirit or am I responding by the fruit of the flesh? And I've spoken about that before, about feeding the flesh and feeding the spirit and those, but not going down that path specifically tonight. But there is a sense of responding, choosing to respond in the opposite spirit. We need to train ourselves actually to choose to do this. But remember, it's impossible if we're not filled by the Spirit. We keep on coming back to that. We've got to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And I'll get to that part just now. But let's read the scripture in Galatians 5, verses 19 to 23. And it says this, "Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and orgies, and things like these." And then he goes on to say, "I warn you, as I have warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." So for every fruit of desire or our flesh, there seems to be a fruit of the Spirit to counter it and to oppose it, in a sense, right? So we can, in those moments, I've said this before, we can choose. Are we going to respond? Are we going to respond in love or are we going to respond not in love? And love is patient, kind, believes the best of all these things. We know these things as well. But how do we do it? So let's quickly have a look at that. So, for example, fruit of the flesh, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, those first three things. What does it take to counter those things? What does it take to not fall into that when we're exercising fruits of the Spirit? Takes self-control. Takes faithfulness. Takes love. Because actually when there's love, when we love Him, or if we're in a relationship, we love our wife or our husband, we don't fall into that. So there's an exercising the good fruit actually against the bad fruit, right? And this, and as you go through that list, you begin to look, strife, kindness and patience, love, jealousy. How do we combat jealousy? But goodness, self-control, again, peace. Self-control is in a lot of the, it's incredible how the Lord uses self-control in us. So He gives us a gift of self-control. The fruit, it's a fruit, but it's also a gift. It's a beautiful strength that He gives us in the Spirit. And these things, He says, "I warn you as I've warned you before." But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So, to exercise the way we're walking by the Spirit is to exercise these things, right? So when we say to walk by the Spirit, it means to walk in love and walk in peace, walk in joy, walk in self-control, not to actually give in to the things of the Spirit. That's how we walk by the Spirit. It doesn't just happen. I know we think sometimes, I'm full of the Spirit, it's just going to all happen. No, it doesn't just happen. He enables us to actually walk it out and to live it. And when we see him, when we see Jesus and we see this perfect example, he gives us, it's the hope set before us. He gives us the strength to be able to live it out. To walk by the Spirit is to actively allow these fruits to be evident in our lives. It's choosing to respond in the opposite spirit. Now I'm going to tell you guys a short story, or maybe a testimony. Well, how does it look in my own life? Because really that's all I've got. All I've got is my stories and my life. And I can try and relate to you guys through what the Lord, how the Lord speaks to me and what he does in my life. So I'm a guy, obviously. I'm not confused about that. And I like driving. I don't know if all guys like driving, but most guys like driving, right? Yeah, there we go. I like driving fast, too. I like driving fast cars. You like driving motorbikes. You also like driving motorbikes. Driving's fun, right? It is. And so I've in the habit of getting in the car and driving a little bit too fast. I'm just being honest with you. It's a habit. It's become a habit in my life. Pushing the boundaries, breaking the speed limit. And this may seem small and silly, but actually when I do that, I'm breaking the laws of the land. I'm falling into a whole bunch of traps, to be honest with you. And we're going to get into that just now. And it's become quite a vein of contention in my marriage. My wife struggles with that. She really doesn't like it when I speed, and she's always next to me in the car, and she's like, "Ross, the speed limit 60. You're doing 80, right?" And so, why do I speed though? Like, yes, it's fun. And when she challenges me on these things, I just used to like kind of shrug it off as like, "I'm a guy. It's fun. I can't help it. My foot's heavy, man." Right? And yes, maybe there is some truth to that, but I had to dig a little bit deeper. Because it was actually producing bad fruit in my marriage. It wasn't making my wife feel safe. It wasn't making her feel loved or heard. And I had to dig a little bit deeper. I had to go, okay, Lord, like, why is it so difficult for me to just not speed, actually? Why is it such a challenge for me? And I had to get before him. Now, here's the thing. If you're not at that place already, humble enough to get before the Lord and go, "Lord, obviously I'm doing something wrong here because it's producing bad fruit. How do I need to change for that to change?" Then you've lost the battle before you've even started. So you've got to come to the place of, okay, Lord, I can see this is not, why? Why is it so difficult for me? And he said to me, "Well, Ross, when you get in the car, you are actually exercising impatience. You want to get places, you want to get there fast." And it's true. I can be quite impatient. I want to get to where I'm going. I've got this almost sometimes, Margo says, I've got this like nervous energy around me. But I do. Like, I mean, come on, you guys are relate, man. Yeah, you want to get there, right? No, I'm on my own. I'm just being real. Like, what goes through your mind? You get in the car, we're late, right? Already late. And I want to get there. So what happens? I fall into a bad pattern to correct something else, which is not the way we should be doing it. So I realized I'm impatient in that moment. So if I'm being impatient in that moment, my impatience leads to unfaithfulness. Because being faithful is abiding by the rules of the road, right? So now the rules of the road are there for our safety. And actually, I'm not being faithful and just abiding to the laws of the land. And the Bible says, submit and obey. The earthly authorities have been put charge of you by the Lord. Like, actually listen to the laws of the land. Like, don't. You actually, when you transgress them, you're in danger of sinning. So now I'm in a bit of a, No, guys, check, the guys are not very impressed with me now. But this is going through my mind. I'm sitting there going, okay, I'm realizing I'm being impatient. That feeling of impatience comes upon me. So that, Lord, I need to give to you. I need to settle. I need to find peace. Because impatience is not patience, right? Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Impatience is a fruit of the flesh, right? I have no peace because I'm impatient. So now I'm like, Lord, okay, I'm losing everything. Yeah, I'm frotting. This fruit tree is dying. I can feel it like welling up inside of me. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I've got to exercise this. I know what the truth is. I know that I need to be patient this moment. Okay, breathe. Lord, won't you come? Won't you help me learn to be patient? Won't you give me peace in this moment? Okay, I'm not, and choose not to drive fast. Okay, and I know this may seem like a silly example, but it's actually one that's quite dear to my heart at the moment because it's such a difficult struggle. Now, here's the thing. I get in the car, and knowing all of this, I still forget. Okay? And I'm driving because there's 30, well, how many I've been driving since I was 18? There's almost 18, 20, 21 years of driving the wrong way with a bad habit. Okay? Now, I get in the car, and fruit of the Spirit out the window. Here we go. Right? And I realized that I kept on falling into that trap. I realized that, okay, I knew what I had, like, I knew what I was doing was wrong, and something in me could not change it. I kept forgetting. When I remembered, I would, okay, maybe pull back, and I wasn't even looking at the speed, what those things called, the signs. It's such a bad habit. Like, you kind of drive on feeling. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Guys drive on feeling. They drive with, like, kind of pace themselves to the car in front of them. And, like, you know, and the power of your car. So it's like, yeah, okay. So I'm not even really looking at the speed limit. And I realize there's something intrinsically wrong here. I've got a bad pattern. So how am I going to break this thing? So I realized, okay, and here's the thing as well. If I'm not being patient, if I'm falling in, like, into unfaithfulness, like, it also kind of, the patience thing kind of goes into being temperate as well for me. I'm an elder. If you go and look at the qualifications for an elder in Timothy and Titus, temperance is one of them. Now it's touching a lot of areas in my life now. It's like, whoa, this is starting to get personal, Lord. Right? Like it's never not personal when he speaks to us. And then I begin to realize that I'm not trustworthy. Because I've been entrusted when they gave me my license that I would actually drive, I would stick to the rules of the road. And I've been given this family to take care of that I'm actually putting in danger. Now there's a whole bunch of bad fruit. I'm going, whoa. Am I allowed to say that? Sorry. I'm English, so sometimes I say Afrikaans words that actually are a bit crass. So, yeah, now I've got this whole, and I'm realizing, oh my goodness, I'm a sinner. Which is actually a good thing because we know that we can't do it on our own strength. It's Him that changes us. And the fact that I'm already wanting to change it means that my heart has been regenerated. The fact that I'm already wanting to change it means that the Holy Spirit is at work at me and He's doing something in me. But I can't just leave it there. Here's where the action comes in. Here's where the walk by the Spirit comes in. Here's where the walk in His ways and you will eat from the fruit of your labor. Good fruit. So what do? I take a piece of paper and I write on it because I realize this touches on things of my character, actually. And the Lord wants to shape each and every single one of our characters. You know that. He wants to shape us to look more like who? More like Him. More like Jesus, who's perfect. And we're not. You guys know you're not perfect. Do you know that? Well, you're perfect in Him, so don't come with a theological argument now. It's Jesus' perfection in you, right? But you're not. He's making you perfect, right? So now I realize, okay, hang on a second. My character is, I'm falling short big time in my character here. I got patience, I need to exercise patience, self-control, faithfulness, trustworthiness, and temperance. All of these things. I get into that car seat and I've got a list of things now. I'm like, oh, all right. I write it on a piece of paper. And I stick it on my steering wheel. Because now I can't forget. Right? And I know it sounds silly. And it's not an outward work. But it's a way to stay faithful to what He's busy doing in me. Because I've got this bad habit pattern, right? And how many times do we do that? We're like, oh yeah, I'm sorry, Lord. And then we kind of walk away from that moment. Nothing's changed. That's it. Like when Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. He's like, I'm going to have a hand. If your eye causes you sin, gouge it out. There's a change that happens in order to walk in his ways, actually, if it's causing you to stumble. So I realized that something's got to give. So I wrote it down, put it on my steering wheel. And I remember writing the phrase, because I also realized that I'm in a relationship with my wife and some of my sowing into this bad thing affects her. And obviously, I'm a person. I want my wife to change. I mean, who doesn't, hey? Husbands, you want your wives to change. They don't do things right. You, huh? Yeah, yeah. Because they want you to change too. Huh? It's the same. So, and I remember the Lord saying this to me. She's in kids' church tonight, so I can say. I remember the Lord saying this to me. Ross, change what you can. You can change you. You can't. I can't make her be early. But I can make sure that I'm faithful when I drive on the road. I can't hide behind her mistake to speed to get us there quickly and just two wrongs don't make a right. I'm not throwing her under the bus, but I mean, we've had this conversation lots of time. Because I change what you can. And all I can change is me. I can't change a person sitting next to me. The Holy Spirit has given me the ability to look into my life, to surrender it to him and to go, Lord, to live in and by the Spirit, to see good fruit come in my life. For each and every single one of us to live by the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, that good fruit would come in your life too, right? Because we don't want to live by the things of the flesh. You like that story? Now you guys can't moan at me if you see me overtake you. And I promise, I know I'm probably going to fail in this at some stage. I hope that I have this long enough that I can rewire my thinking. That I just become more aware of looking at speed signs at least. But at some stage, this piece of paper is probably going to get dusty. The plastic's probably not going to work anymore. It's going to fall off. It's going to slip under the seat. And I hope that I don't fall back into those ways. But I'm going to ask the Lord to help me not to, right? I'm going to ask you guys to help me not to, actually. Because you also have a responsibility to me that I look like, to help me look like Jesus, as I do to you. So, right, that was the second point. What was it? Choose. There we go. Take the accountant taking notes. Like it. So first point is decrease. You must decrease so that he can increase. Empty your cup so that he can fill you. Second point is choose. Choose to fight or choose to respond in the opposite spirit. Choose to put things in place, actually, to exercise fruits of the Spirit. And the last one would be ask. Ask. And this, I know it seems like the most obvious one, but I can promise you now it's probably the least used one or the least exercised one. How many of us take the time to actually ask the Holy Spirit to fill us daily? We just assume it. And he's there. But does your day start with asking the Spirit to come and fill you, come and lead you? Because if we're told and instructed to walk by the Spirit and to be filled by the Spirit, are we not to ask him? And maybe I jump. Oh, wait, sorry, yeah. In Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11, it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. And then again in verse 9, or which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If then, you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Ask. I truly believe our day needs to start like that. And there's a few different places that where we can ask, and I'll get to that just now. But maybe have a look. In John 7, there's a story, you know, all know the scripture, when Jesus stands up in John 7, he says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And in verse 39, it's very interesting, it says this. Now he said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So he's talking about the Spirit. When Jesus says, when he gets up at that feast on the last day, and he says, those who are thirsty, come and drink. I'm going to give them water that's going to flow from them. And then it says, and he was talking about the Spirit. So there's a that had not yet come, right? So he's going to give the Holy Spirit to you, if you ask, that will flow from you, right? And it's a beautiful thing when that ceremony happened in John 7. It was called the Sukkoth was the name of the festival. And what they would do, I think it was a seven-day festival. Every morning they would go and they would draw water in a golden pitcher, and it would come and they would pour it over the altar. And the water they poured over the altar would leave the altar through holes at the bottom of the altar. And that water was a sign of the Spirit, actually. Jesus is saying here, those who thirst, come and drink from me. I'll give you living water. And there's a sense of, we need to be filled so that we can leak him. Right? We need to be full of the Spirit, continuously being filled by the Spirit. And that happens every day. Every day in that ceremony, every morning they wake, they go. First thing they do is they go fill the pitcher and they come and they pour it over. And it's a picture of this. Every day we need to be continuously filled by the Holy Spirit, asking him to come and fill us, to come and lead us. That from us, living water actually would flow. And I'm not talking about the baptism of the Spirit, the laying hands, the receiving the gifts and all that. I'm talking about the continuous infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm hoping that's where we're actually going to land there tonight. Because I'm hoping, as I've shared, that maybe some of you have gone, yo, I also speed a bit too much. Maybe not speeding. But there's things in our life. There's all sorts of things in our life that fill that cup that we want to, of this world, that we want to get out. And there's a beautiful way of doing it. He's so good and kind and gracious to us. He says, just repent and turn to me and times of refreshing will come. So we got to, as we see it, as we identify it, as he shows us and convicts us about these things, well, all we got to do is turn to him, repent, and ask him, say, Holy Spirit, please, would you come and fill me, strengthen me, and enable me to not live like that. It's beautiful. He's so good, and he's so kind, and I'm trusting tonight, maybe as I've been sharing, that some of you have even got, yeah, probably. And it could be a number of things. It could be speeding in the car. It could be offenses with people. It could be looking at the things you shouldn't be on the internet. It could be partaking in things you shouldn't be partaking in. There's a number of things. It's not about what it is. It's a posture of the heart. It's a posture of the heart. It does, I mean, in Galatians, happen to list a number of things. I'm just saying. As well. So, how and when do we ask, right? And maybe just settling the fact that we need to ask. Are we starting the day by asking? Are we asking him in the moment of adversity? The moment we're faced with something, the moment somebody says something that we can feel the rise, we can feel the wrong fruits beginning to rise in us. Do we ask him in that moment? Because if we train ourselves to be heavenly minded, in those moments we begin to ask him. So, Holy Spirit, I can feel this coming. I don't want to respond like that. Holy Spirit, would you help me to respond the right way? That's being led by the Spirit. That's walking by the Spirit. That's not giving into the flesh. And you may fail at times but hey, that's the heart, it's the posture of the heart. So, starting in the day, in the moment of adversity, and continuously, we need to continue asking him to fill us. Continually asking him, Holy Spirit, come and fill me, come and lead me. Come and show me your ways, Lord. Show me your ways. And I think I want to end with this. Jesus said in John 15, he said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And that fruit should abide. And that fruit should last. So, he's chosen us to go, and he's saying, go and bear fruit. Go and do this. Go and live like this. And live like this continually. Fruit that will abide.